SBS Radio.
Dobling pagpapakain, dobling pagpapaligo, at dobling pagpapalit ng lampin. Ganyan kapag may anak kang kambal. Kunento sa amin ni Georgette Medel ang tungkol sa pagiging ina niya sa kanyang kambal na anak. Good morning, Georgette!
Good morning!
Good morning. So, can you tell me about yourself and your family?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm a mum of four kids, and I work full-time as a career consultant, and I also have my own business as the Soul Igniter. So, I'm a coach and an intuitive healer as well. Yeah, so I have a 10-year-old son and an 8-year-old girl, and the twin girls, identical twins, are turning 3 next year. So the 2 older ones are in school at the moment, obviously, but the little ones, the 2-year-olds now are at home, so they're not in daycare or anything like that, not yet.
So were you hoping for twins, or does it run in your family?
No, well, basically, twins don't run in my family. It was a complete surprise. So it wasn't, my partner and I weren't exactly trying to get pregnant. It was just something that happened, and you know, it was a blessing. It was a wonderful surprise. So when we found out that I was pregnant, that was a surprise in itself. And then we went in for the ultrasound, and the sonographer was like, "Oh, it looks like you're having twins." And so we were just like, "Oh my God!" We were completely gobsmacked and surprised, and just like, "Oh my God, we're having twins!" So completely unexpected. My partner though does have, like, there's twins in his family. So
okay.
his uncle and auntie from his dad's side, they're twins. And he also has a cousin who has twin boys. So that runs in his family, but in my family it was like no twins whatsoever.
Wow.
Until now.
Yeah. Until now. So when you were pregnant with the twins, because multiple pregnancies, they're considered as high risk. So did you suffer any complications?
No, they kept saying that it is obviously higher risk because it is twins. So the complications that we did have were, because the twins are identical, they shared one placenta. And what was happening with them was they had this thing called twin-to-twin transfusion, where one would be a donor and one would be a recipient. So what they were saying was that because everything is connected, they were, you know, the blood flow was shared between the two of them. And what was happening was one would have more amniotic fluid around them, the other one would have less, and then their size would be different. So they were playing, it's almost like this game of, like, one would be bigger, one would be smaller 1 week, and then it would shift the next week. So I was actually in hospital, like, you know, at least 2 to 3 times a week with checkups, you know, when they found out about this. So we had to be, you know, I had ultrasounds like literally every week to check on them. And also they had to just monitor that everything was okay. I think at 23 weeks, they recommended a procedure, like a laser procedure. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a laser procedure to laser off the connections between the twins, which was very invasive. And we're like, no, we're not doing that. So we decided that we weren't going to do that procedure, even though they said we highly recommend it, but we went against it. And yeah, luckily we didn't, because I just they said that there was no guarantee anyway. Just intuitively, my partner and I didn't feel right about that, because it's like, hang on, you're going to go in and laser these connections, and I'm like, it was very invasive. I'm like, I'm not going to you know, change what Mother Nature has created, so to speak. You know what I mean? If it was meant to be this way, there was a reason why it was meant that way. I think my partner and I were very, very calm throughout this whole time, but everyone else around us was like, "Oh my God, like, you've got to," you know, they were all fearful about it. But I was just like, "No, everything's going to be okay." And they ended up coming 8 weeks early, and I did have an emergency cesarean, because they did, I think 32 weeks, they did a scan, and one of the girls, the blood flow wasn't going to one of the chambers in her heart. So they said that they had to, you know, they had to get them out within the hour. otherwise it could become serious. So when they said that, it was like, okay, yep, that's fine. Like, I'm letting it go. Like, I'm leaving it up to God, so to speak. And they took me in. Within the hour, I was in theater, and the girls were out.
I guess they spent some time in the NICU because they were only 32 weeks.
They did. So 32 weeks, so 8 weeks early, and they were in the incubators for at least 3 weeks, and then another couple of weeks outside of that before we could actually take them home. So I think all up it was about 5 weeks they stayed in hospital before we could take them home. So I actually left the hospital without them. So that was like, that felt really emotional for me, because, you know, you kind of leave the hospital with your babies, but we left the hospital and I couldn't take them home with me. So it was challenging not having them at home. But I guess it was also part of my healing to go, okay, at least I can sleep. At least I can have some sleep.
Because you were saying that your twins are identical. Could you tell them apart when they were born?
I think when they were born, we still could, but they were very identical. And now though, you can tell the differences. But a lot of people still, like, I think when you meet them for the first time, they're like, oh, how do you tell them apart? But, you know, obviously, I think being the parents, you're like, we know which one's which. But looking back, as I look at photos, because, you know, they had no hair, you know, went side by side, there were times when they really looked identical and was like, oh, which one's which? So, but now it's like, it's easy to tell them apart. Because we could tell them apart, but I think one of them had more, she had this, like, a red spot on her face in between the eyebrows. It was like a red, I think it was her eczema. So that was one way as well to kind of go, this is Antoinette and this one's Anastasia. But then again, it was very, they just had, you could just tell slight differences that we just knew intuitively, okay, that one's that. But we didn't it wasn't like we went through a phase where, oh my God, which one's which, I don't know who's who. It was more that if people asked us which one's which, we just go, yeah, this is this one. And they're like, how do you know that? I'm just like, we just know. How can you tell? Well, we just, because their nose is slightly different as well. I think that's the biggest difference, is that their nose is different. So that was a bit of a giveaway.
Yeah, and with parents, I think we tend to kind of like really look at all the details of our children's faces. So when it comes to raising them, so they're almost 3 now. So what are the joys of raising twins?
The joys of raising twins, what I actually love is because they're together, like they're always playing together, and they're always going to have that. So, you know, when I had the older two, like with Jaya, for example, which is my oldest one, you know, he was by himself, whereas now the twins, they're always have each other. So I can actually feel like when I've got to do some house chores or something, I can leave them to play by themselves, you know, as long as they're safe, they're okay. And they can interact with each other. They've always got someone to play with. So, and it's fascinating because their personalities are so different. Even though they're identical twins, their personalities are so different. One is a lot more like myself, and the other one is a lot more like, you know, their dad. So, like, their temperament, you know, one's a little bit more reserved and introverted, and the other one's a little bit more, like, very outgoing and wants to share and all that. So that you can really see, even though they're only 2, like, almost 3, but you can really see their personalities starting to flourish now. That's what I love, is just seeing the differences between them and I learn so much just watching and interacting with them, because it's, you know, like one's like so sweet, the other one can be a bit like, no, I don't want to play with you, I just want to be by myself. And so, yeah, it's very, I don't know, just fun to watch them and play with them and just watch them grow, you know, because they interact with each other, not just by themselves.
Aside from the joys, of course, there are also the struggles. What are the challenges and struggles that you face with raising twins?
Sure. So the challenges are from the beginning, because they were twins, like, and I was breastfeeding them for at least 6 months, like, exclusively. So I didn't get any sleep for 6 months, because, you know, every I was waking up every 2 to 3 hours just to breastfeed them. But because there's 2 of them, I was only getting maybe like half an hour to an hour sleep in between. So, you know, I did try the whole feeding them together, but then I was like, I couldn't figure out how to burp them together. So I just thought, you know what, I'll feed them and burp them separately because at least I can have that quality time with each of them. So I think that was the biggest struggle in the beginning was, you know, no sleep. I mean, having newborn babies is challenging enough, but having newborn twins and trying to figure that out, you know, how you're going to feed them and that whole routine, that was challenging. So I was like a zombie for the first 6 months. I've had no sleep. My partner was good, though, because he helped. But I think because I was breastfeeding, I mean, I was doing the bulk of the job. So I was doing the breastfeeding I wasn't getting any sleep. So that was the biggest challenge in the beginning. But now I think the biggest challenge is just teaching them how to share. You know, teaching them how to be like, it's okay to share and it's okay to share your toys with each other. Because one, like, it's like we're finding we have to have double of everything because if you know, they can't, it's like one of them plays with something and the other one wants to play with it. And then they get into this, oh, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine thing. So
yeah, that's true. So yeah. You have to have two of everything.
Yeah, and yeah, so that's almost double the expense, really, because, you know, you've got to have two car seats, you've got to have the twin pram, you've got to have two cots, you've got to have literally double of everything, you know, and then two extra sets of mouths to feed. So, like, financially, obviously, but, you know, we're working that out. So I think the biggest thing for us is just being able to spend that quality time with each of them so that they don't feel like one's not getting enough.
Yeah.
Enough attention, enough love. So that's why when we're playing with them together as a family, not just, you know, one by one. So,
yeah, true. Yeah. And like, you know how some parents with their twins, they dress them alike, they kind of yes. treat them alike. So yes. How do you make sure that each twin feels like an individual?
Yeah, so in the beginning, I was actually completely against the whole dressing them alike in the same. But I changed my mind. So because I just think it's cute. But the way that I, you know, because I think it's you see what they're like and you see their personalities. And so we encourage, like, you know, sometimes Antoinette, who's the more introverted one, you know that when she wants to be by herself, she'll just, you can just tell. And so we let her have her own sort of me time. You know, and or if we know that they're not getting along, we'll just take her to another, you know, the other room in the house and play with her and let her have her space because she likes that and she needs that because, like, as an introvert, you kind of need your internal, you get your energy from within. So if she's had enough of people, she just wants to be away from people. So we encourage that and we nourish that, we nurture that. So. And with Anastasia, like, she loves being with people and she loves playing and sharing. So we're just, again, encouraging that. And then when she wants to, because we just automatically see that when they're with people, Anastasia will gravitate towards them, whereas Antoinette will be a bit more cautious. And so we don't sort of go, oh, Antoinette, go and play with them. Like, well, you know, don't not play with them. So it's just looking at their personalities and nurturing what they do naturally. I guess the difference between the way that I parent our kids is that we give them the freedom to be who they are and not sort of condition them too much into who we think they should be. And I think, you know, I guess coming from where I've come from, you know, growing up is like we're conditioned to be a certain way or to be a certain way or to do certain things. And that I don't want to do that to my kids. I want them to know who they are and discover who they are and for me to nurture who they are naturally and allow that to flourish as opposed to telling them this is who you need to be, this is what you should be doing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I do the same thing with my son.
Awesome. Yeah.
So as a final word, what would your advice be to moms of multiples? Like, what do you wish that you knew before the twins arrived?
Oh, that's a good question. What do I wish I knew? I think, you know what, like the biggest advice that I would say is that stop putting so much pressure on yourself to know everything and to be perfect because, you know, like I think as mums, especially whether we have twins or single babies, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to have to know everything and to do everything perfectly or perfectly according to what society expects. And I think we just have to take a lot of pressure out of ourselves to know that, hey, we're doing a great job.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.